feel the frequencies of heaven. You feel, you know, around the throne, sounds, rumblings. Heaven is full of frequencies that are in the room right now. So, this isn't a conference, from what I understand of the mandate of the Lord. This is an encounter, a life-changing experience. You will not understand everything that is going on in you. Our part is to let go of the delusion of control, because that's what trust is. It's an increasing, bold relinquishing of control that God is good and He is big. And He's a mystery, but He's close. He's wondrous. He's extraordinary. He's more than you could imagine. It's more than you could imagine. How could we think we could contain you with theology, Lord? We have to become childlike to be wise enough. To be wise enough. Ooh, shut up. No. You can see the stuff opening up right now as we open our hearts, because we are the doors, we are the gates. Because He is the door. And we are in His image. He's gone before us, and we have to be like Him. Doors. The atmosphere's changed as we open our hearts. You're the kings, you're the lords. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. We hold the doors. You're full of doors. You're full of openings that you can open up to the Lord. And as we do that, we enter into who we really are. And Nard was just telling me, she's free to be who she really is. It is all about discovering who you really are, because who you really are is in Him. You discover who you are in Him. We don't know who we are. You can do all the Myers-Briggs tests you like. You will not know who you are till you're in Him. Nothing will satisfy you other than being in Him and knowing Him. Wow. That works for all of us. Whether you're homeless or whether you're the Prime Minister. I was talking to a guy who's involved quite high up in government. You know, he's friends with David Cameron. And he's saying, you know, he does all this stuff for the Conservative Party, but it doesn't satisfy him. And I was saying, yeah, that's because you're not yet doing what is you. What is on your scroll, who you are in Him. Because when you're doing that, you know when you're doing that stuff, even if it's just for a fraction of a second at the bus stop, when you're talking to someone, it connects and you know who you are and you're full of life and you're flowing with the Spirit. That's you can't bottle that into a conference manual. You just can't do that. So there's a growing up going on in us, but never losing our childhood. You only get true maturity when you stay a child. It's maturity of the world is to throw away being a child and become grown up. And that's not how the kingdom works. But there's a growing up in us so that we don't need the crutches, the framework, the tutoring of what has gone on before. And whether you understand this or not, this is dangerous stuff. I mean, many are looking for a wineskin. They're looking for a way to do things. You are the wineskin. You are the wineskin. Wow, that's so scary, because then we have no outside controls. Whoa. Whoa. That's too big for me. I can only see that from a distance, but it's coming. Whoa. That's so good. He's so good. I might have a job getting back at the minute. I'm just being... Whoa. You were made for this very thing. Wow, that's so... Something so prophetic on that. You were made for this very thing. Hey, hear the voice of the Lord in this now moment. You were made for this very thing. Ah, made for this very thing. If you're in this very thing, life explodes around you. Whatever you're doing, you're made for this very thing. Oh, come awake, come awake, come awake, come awake. Wake up, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, not an alarm clock, nasty waking up. It's a time to wake up, wake up, wake up. Ha. Oh, the body, whoa, the church. Oh. We haven't yet fully seen the church. It's coming. She's beautiful. She's coming. Well, it's already done, but it's coming. Wow. There's this really naughty phrase by Paul in Hebrews. I've just nailed my colors to the mast. Yeah, I believe he wrote it. And he says, Jesus Christ has completed forever those who are being sanctified. What a contradiction. How can you be completed yet being sanctified? But he's saying, you have been teleosed. You have, the end has been done. The future is coming. We now no longer live from the past. We live from the future. That's so hard for our brains to get. So you have to ditch your brain. And I don't mean become stupid. I don't mean to neglect reason. You just have to ditch that way of thinking. You are coming from the future. You have been teleosed. You have been completed in Him. In Him who is the beginning and the end. He is the end. He is the last Adam. It's been done, and therefore you are being changed. Everything within you will shift to change to become what you've already been done. I can't use English for that. It's already there. You're being shifted to conform to it. Wow. You were made for this very thing. Let's just let that undo more. We're not here for a conference, are we? I'm not here for a conference. If it was a conference, that means work for me. I'm not here to work. Because that's the church. You know, there is no, like, there's no hierarchy. No, that's dangerous. Wow, that's dangerous. Wow. Something's going on right now in the depths of your being. You're made for this very thing. He changes atmospheres through you. He changes the world through you. He will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. All flesh. Wow. You were made for this very thing. For the engulfing of your flesh with your heavenly glory dwelling. The overwhelming of your mortal flesh by your heavenly dwelling. We don't long to be unclothed, Paul says. We long for the further clothing, the glory covering that wells up within us. We have it within us, and it will be over us, will be through us. Wow. The Spirit of glory within you, guaranteeing the explosion of this glory. Your glory covering, engulfing mortality, overtaking this body of death. And as that happens, Jesus is seen, because we're hidden in him. And when he is revealed, we are revealed with him in that glory covering. Whoa. Whoa. I've suggested it's what we long for, the depths of our being long for that glory intimacy. This is an intimacy that's not to do with sitting down with God. This is where you are one. You are one. That together you flow through your life. That there is no separation. There's not even a millisecond of break between the asking of the question and the answering. That's the intimacy, the union, the knowing of each other's feelings. So much so, you're one. Whoa. Going away to be with God will never fully satisfy. What satisfies is the oneness with him that flows through you. His glory in you. That's what we were made for. For this very thing. For this very thing. And of course that glory brings healing, brings deliverance, brings freedom from depression, freedom from fear. Of course, it eventually brings those things, but it's all about one with him and the glory. Wow, satisfied, but always more. There's always more. We long to know why we're here, don't we? It's for this very thing. This very thing. Whoa. It's not about finding his will and then going away to do it. It's by being constantly in his presence. So you're changed. And it does his will accidentally through you. Ha. Ha. Wow. If you keep going like that, I'll have a job staying. You're not here by accident. I don't know why you thought you'd come. We have so many reasons why we think we do things, but there's usually only one real reason going on underneath the calling of the Holy Spirit to us. We are so not who we think we are. We are so much more glorious, extraordinary, amazing than we so often cripple ourselves with our low self-image of who we are, which is a complete sham of the enemy. It's a world system covering that is just junk. Good news, Jesus overcame the world so that you can walk through that because you are extraordinary. Absolutely. Paul said, I don't look at anyone according to their flesh anymore. I don't look at them and go, yeah, they're a Jew, they're not a Jew. I don't look at them with the color of their skin, but what's going on. I don't look at them according to their junk, because your junk is wrapped up with your flesh. Shig-a-ding-dong. If you get that, man, the enemy will be so frustrated. He looks straight through it, straight through what you think is your junk, straight through it, sees your glory, and calls you out. Says, come on, come on, because he's done it inside you. He's done it. He's put it in. It's there. It's who you really are. It's the real you, the new world within you. That's what he says. Any man is in Christ, then he's a new world. That's what it says, a new world. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and you're a new world, and that new world is within you, and it comes out because the glory comes out, and the earth will be covered with the glory of the Lord. It will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and that's extraordinarily, that's coming through you and me. So something must be wrong in our thinking by the way we glitch when we hear that. And there's all sorts of landmines the enemy puts, like, yeah, if you think like that, you'll think you're God. What a twist. He's loved you so much, he gives you everything. And how could we ever but go, it's all yours, Lord. But I carry it to reveal your glory. His purpose is to reveal his glory through you. So you are extraordinary. So the circumstances, stuff might twist at you to share all sorts of lies, but it is lies. And something is coming that will snap those lies off, because you have to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So we groan in this body. Have you noticed that? We groan. We're going, ah! Something is not right. It's not there yet. It's like birth pains. Something going on within you. Have you noticed that yet? Suffering. Have you noticed that yet? It's a, ah! It's not finished yet. Whoa. Gosh. Suffering. It's just extraordinary stuff. And we think, poor me. You know, the enemy tempts us into self-pity, victim mentality. Paul says, I fill up in my body. The suffering's lacking for Christ in my flesh. What is going on there? He's asking for more of it. He says, I'm bearing it. Ah. Oh. We don't understand suffering. Those who suffer will receive an eternal weight of glory in proportion to that. That's what it says in the scriptures. Whoa. It's crazy stuff. I'm going to try and land and come to earth, but it's pretty difficult. You're just amazed. I get the privilege of looking out at you guys. Something's birthing. So cool. Something's going on in the world, but it's like, it's got, what was that? It's like the world is doing its thing and going on and having good things and horrific things. Something else is going on in a parallel world. And that's the birthing of the body. That's the church. We are the wineskin. There is no church planting theology that can replace the wineskin. You are the church. Wow. So that's something going on here now, and I'm desperately trying to find good English words to put around it, because summit is being established. So you think you're in a... We think we've got the pattern of coming to conferences. We used to conferences. It's so charismatic evangelical culture. But there's something going on where you get transformed within it, so you don't get information. So actually it becomes a gathering. And I don't know what that looks like ultimately. I think we're beginning to see glimpses of it. But when the body gets together and does its stuff, and sometimes the body gets together physically. But when we start to realize we're one, and that we're constantly in touch, there is no separation because we're all in Him. So we truly can suffer with those who are suffering and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Oh, when that level of oneness comes, oh my goodness, it's coming. I'm just babbling a load of rubbish, aren't I? It's just too much, isn't it? It's too much stuff. Oh, Jesus. It's so true. When you walk in the room, the demons wet themselves. Their only hope is that you don't realize that. That's the sham. That's how they work. Did you not know that? No, did you not know that? That's how they work. They're most terrified when they're most confident. Did you not know that? When they are the most aggressive is when they're the most scared. Only they're beyond fear. Their only hope of surviving that level of fear is to switch it off. So they're numb. You absolutely rock their unreal world because you come with reality. Their only hope is to spin unreality around the world. That is the world system that locks you into money, things, thinking that you need to be afraid of dying. You cannot die. You cannot die. You cannot die. You cannot die. If you think you are in flesh, you die. But you're not in the flesh. You have a body, but you're not in it. It's not your housing. It's not your covering. It's not your authority. You're in the spirit, which means you cannot die. You just change states, and we actually groan for a further covering. We groan for the immortality to come over us before we have to leave this body. And the more we realize, the more it will happen. Something's coming, because there will be a generation that doesn't physically die. They will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And there's something that goes on now that means we can manifest that glory in increasing measure through who we are. You see, you get revelation in your inner being. You need a spirit of wisdom to get right. I know I'm speaking stuff that I should spend about 3 weeks talking about. But I'm not going for your mind. I'm going for damage in your spirit. I think there's something going on where we need to get something. The spirit of wisdom lands on us. We need the spirit of wisdom to understand the will of God. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know? No, did you know that? I didn't know that. I thought I needed God just to tell me in English. No, you need the spirit of wisdom. Paul prays in Colossians. As soon as he hears about the Colossian believers who he's never met, yet he says, I see how you worship. He says, I'm praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You need wisdom. When the spirit of wisdom comes on you, then you can see the will of God. Because otherwise it'll be told you and it'll go in one ear and out the other. You won't get it. You're not framed up properly. You can't see it. You can't grasp it. When the spirit of wisdom rests on you, you start to see properly. Then when the spirit of wisdom is resting on you and you start to see, then understanding can slowly build. And then when you have understanding in your inner being, you're being transformed now. Now that, when you start to obey that understanding and walk in that understanding, transforms your being. So it actually comes through your body. So your body becomes a manifestation of the glory of God. So whatever you go and do and you pray for people, the glory is manifested. But more than that, you literally ooze the glory of God. If you've framed up the will and purposes of God, which isn't a list of rules, it's his being, his ways, with wisdom, then understanding, which means you can walk in it. Because then you understand. Now I see it, now I know his ways. I can express the kingdom wherever I go. I can insist on what I understand because I see it. What's going on in this room is increasing. There's a spirit of wisdom resting on you right now, which means the spirit of wisdom comes and opens you up for teaching when you don't understand what you're hearing. Because if you understood it, it's not severely, it's not enough of a jump. Because if we think we learn by adjusting what we already know.
Yeah.
It won't work like that. That's not revelation. Revelation knowledge comes by wisdom opening you up so you eventually go, bang, oh, I see it, I see it, I see it. And it kind of occasionally seems to work through you, but you don't get it yet. So you're still seeing it, but the understanding is forming. You're maturing in your understanding, and then you can walk in it. So when you get wisdom that you are provided for by Father, not by your employer. But this is such a big beast. When you get wisdom starts to form, that you're provided by Father. He provides for the sparrows. Do you think he doesn't provide for you? I work for Monsanto, so there's no way God can provide for me. He's providing through for the sparrows. I work for Shell. He can't provide. He provides for the sparrows. He provides for you. When you have the wisdom and then the understanding, whether or not you get a paycheck, money will have to materialize for you. Goods will have to, because if you seek first the kingdom, all these things will come to you. And I'm not teaching you that so you can go, oh, great, I don't need to work, so I can just put my feet up, because that's not wisdom. Wisdom will shift you so money takes its proper perspective. So then you can get the understanding. Without the wisdom, you'd hear the voice, maybe obey it, and it worked once, but you'd never live in it. But Jesus walked in the wisdom that Father provides, and then the understanding that Father provides. So he goes to Peter, go and fish, there'll be a coin in the mouth of the fish, which is crazy, eh? Because the coin has to jump into the fish's mouth because Jesus needs it. I've watched 5 £20 notes become 6 £20 notes in front of my eyeballs with a German intern watching with me. She's German. She's going to be precise. We counted it. I went 5. They were crumpled and we counted it out and then it became 6. The second time I counted it. Whoa. Messed with my head. Because it's not usual. It is actually normal. Because we need the new normal. Because we need, this is who we really are. So if we're moved by money, we've not yet got the wisdom, have we? So if it's moving me, I'm amazed. You know, we're amazed because that shows that we don't think right. That's why Jesus did signs and wonders, amazing things. To him, was normal. To us, and he's going, do you marvel at this? Says to Nathan, do you marvel at this? You're going to see the dead raised. You can see angels coming up and down. You know, what are you going to do when you see that? For Jesus, normal. Moses and Elijah talking to him, normal. Peter, me, faint and die, can't stay. How much do you want to lose the delusion of control? Because all of that is the delusion of control. So it's shaking in you right now. So the more the more you go in this direction, and you're going in this direction, you can resist, but please stop. We can resist, we can try and do it ourselves or something, but we've been pulled in this direction. It will not be church as normal, but it will be church as normal. Something we'll realize we're all sons and daughters of the living God, and you have no other head other than Jesus Christ. Whoa. Now if you don't have wisdom, that's rebellion. If you don't have wisdom, that feeds your rebellion. Oh, I don't need any other head. No need anyone to tell me what to do. I got Jesus. But wisdom comes and shows you honor. And then there's no fight and trying to be top dog or independent. There's honor, because it's impossible for you to be independent. Because you're one. It's impossible. So if you're acting independent, it's still not conformed. And we're not there yet, but again, something is going on. And it's beyond us. You know what? It is not down. It's not down to how much we pray. It's coming, whether you like it or not. It's just better for us if we pray more. It'll come easier. Whoa. I'm sorry, you probably haven't got any notes. But something is shifting, and that's what I'm about, because you know what? I mean, conferences are great. I love teaching, but I just want God to do stuff, and it's already happening. So I don't know whether how far you want in, you're seeing in the unseen realm and hearing, but the colors are changing in the room. I can watch the colors change in the room. Frequencies change in the room. So it means you go out and you think, what was that all about? But you're different. It means you have a really good quiet time in about 3 days' time. Jesus. Wow. You're not who you think you are. Jesus comes, the Holy Spirit comes and releases a spirit of wisdom and revelation as well. But the wisdom comes on us to shift us to a new way of seeing. I was talking to my daughter on the phone, because she doesn't live with me. And she's just going to university today. And I'm just going to go and check in on her. So I was talking to her one... Whoa. Thank you. excuse me. I was just ringing up and chatting to her, as I often do, just a couple of times a week. So I'm chatting to her for about 20 minutes. And as we're chatting, I say, what's that on the floor? And she says, what, which bit of paper? And she says, do you mean the one that's the insurance application? No, the other one. Oh, yeah, the other one. Oh, that's the bank statement. And then she says, Dad, how'd you know that? And I said, oh, are you wearing this color pajamas? And she says, Dad, you're scaring me now. And I suddenly realized, this is the first time this happened, I suddenly realized, I'm there. And I could go there if I let go of the delusion of control and the delusion of the limits of my body, because this is merely a vehicle through which I can live in a physical space. And I was there, and for a few seconds, and I looked around the room, and then I got scared and came back. What if, of course, this is totally normal for the Catholic mystics of centuries ago, totally normal. Of course, this is totally normal for Jesus with Nathan. And that's just the one that's written down, obviously. This is totally... I mean, I went to Slovakia, and we had this crazy meeting in Slovakia, and I didn't know what was... I had some wisdom, but no understanding. And we suddenly were in the throne room. I had no idea that you could go into the throne room, but the whole meeting went into the throne room. I know that afterwards because we were there for 3 hours, and, well, that's what it seemed like. I don't know what actual time it was. I think it only took about an hour and a half. But it felt like we were there for 3 hours, and we compared notes, and we'd all seen exactly the same thing. Everyone was going, did you see the four pillars? I said, yeah, I saw the four pillars. Which one were you? Was that you touching it? Yeah. And so I knew we were in the same... I'd never been in a meeting like this where we went, all went, and no one had planned it. It was the worship leader's fault. He played this chord, and that was it. We were gone. And it just got stronger. There was a guy from the States in the front. I can't remember what state he was from, but southern, I think Texas. And he was not charismatic. He'd never heard of, he'd heard of speaking in tongues, but never didn't do it or anything like that. He had the most powerful experience. It just blew him away. He said, we were really there, weren't we? He says, yeah, we did some cool stuff. And there were some Catholic nuns at the back of the room, and they were in their outfits. And I wonder what they thought of that. So I was chatting to them, and I said, that was cool. I don't know why that, I'd like to take credit for this evening, but I can't. That was just, wow. Most of us were crying and just, I think we changed that part of Slovakia. There was courtroom stuff going on. I said, how did you find that? Thinking they'll think this was mind blowing. They said, "Oh yeah, this is a quite a good normal meeting." What? We have some. Yeah, but she wasn't boasting because it was normal. Because she's got wisdom, and that doesn't mean wisdom. Now I hold back on my boasting. Wisdom means you just see it differently. So why would you boast? Yeah. It's like, hey, yeah. Why would you compare? What's that about? Yeah. Yeah. Why would I compare myself with someone else when you have the wisdom in that area? That just doesn't make sense to do that. But when we're in the flesh, when we're under the world system, we're there going, we're looking at Facebook going, oh my goodness, I'm having an awful life. Look at these people, they're so enjoying themselves. Because Facebook is riddled with comparison. Yes. So feed yourself with that in the morning, it'll really do you good. And she's telling me, yeah, we have some... She didn't say good things. I can't remember how she worded it because she didn't use the same language as me. And there was no hype at all. And she said, our Father has taught us so much. I said, do you mean your Heavenly Father? No, the Father, the priest. Oh, yeah. What? And she told me his name. And she said, he oversees quite a few churches. I said, oh, that's cool. Is that in this town? No, over the area. I said, wow, he must travel a lot. Well, he does, but he doesn't. He rarely moves physically. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? And obviously she's having a bit of confusion that I don't get this. Because in their world, obviously this is normal to them. Even, you'd think they'd think, well, they met other Christians, so they'd realise it isn't normal. But they hadn't. So she's going... Well, yeah, he starts the service in our church, he starts the meeting, and then he puts his hood over his head, and he goes to the next meeting, starts that meeting, comes back to us, and carries on with the meeting, and does that with 3 or 4 meetings. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't think I'm a Christian. I don't understand this stuff. Because they were just full of Jesus. They were just so beautiful in the way they behaved and spoke about the Lord. And and this was normal for this guy. Then, being connected to YWAM, we spent a lot of time trying to connect him to China and the underground church, which is, it's quite difficult to contact all the underground church. There were 5 streams of the underground church. They've agreed to become one. That's huge. But, we hear of, a conference, a guy, I think he's 19, maybe 21, that sort of age, who runs conferences in China. What he does is he sets up a conference. No one knows it's happening. Just people hear supernaturally that it's happening. They go, and then they start to tell people. So it starts to build up to the thousands, people getting healed, saved, you know, crazy stuff happening. Then the secret police come, and when the secret police find out about it, then he transports to another location and does another conference. Completely other side of China. But you don't want to hear those stories. I'm just saying them because let go of the delusion of control. That means fear. You know, you will hit fear. You will hit fear. Isn't this occult? No, it's much more powerful than the occult. It's the occult doesn't know what it's doing. It's using stuff illegally. And so if I do the stuff that Moses did right now, most people would freak out and run out of the church. If I made this lectern turn into a snake, how is that godly? And of course, the occult people, and that was totally normal, the occult people could do that up until about when he started to turn rivers into blood. They couldn't handle that level. Because the things that they were contacting didn't have the realm of exerting authority to make that happen. That had gone above their pay grade. So Moses trumped them in the courtroom. He went higher. That's just worth €1 million. Because we are called, do you know that we're called to rule? And if you don't have wisdom, you think that's a power trip. We need to come into rulership, governance, and that's not a power trip, that's not a great me, that is not a famous Paul, Joe, Harry, whatever, it's us operating as a body, causing stuff to shift. That doesn't mean everything goes hunky-dory. It means the will of God gets exerted in some awful situations, which isn't always smooth. Isn't this just what Paul tells the baby Corinthian church? Paul. Baby Corinthian church. They're babies. They're new believers. They've got no heritage of being a Jew and therefore understanding. And he's teaching them spiritual gifts because that's the basic stuff. Wow. See, I mean, I'll teach you the basic stuff. Because it's one thing to move in prophecy, get prophecy as a gift. It's another thing to be in prophecy, to be prophetic, to stand in the prophetic stream like Jesus did. He operated in it. So you can get a gift or you can go higher with wisdom and understanding and actually manifest the sevenfold spirit. Anyway, where was I? So we're called to rule, and that's just on the edge of our ability to grasp, but it's coming. Because we're meant to call out for the will of God to be done on this earth, and that doesn't mean you become prime minister necessarily, because that's not high enough authority. Come on, of course not. Because prime minister do with the affairs of mankind on earth. We are meant to operate in the heavens and bring heaven to earth. You can't work out what to do just by operating on earth. We have to operate in the heavens. That means you need your eyes open, you need your ears opened, you need to see and hear, and then we need to break through the barrier that you can't see and you can't hear. Who told you that lie? You see. I can see the colours. It's catching you unawares. It's going in. You see. You see. You have eyes to see. Yes. Don't feel the glitching that goes, no, I can't. Super people can, I can't. You see. There's a day coming when the body sees. And then we don't have to work out what to do. We all see it. So we're all moving in sync because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. What if we only all did what we saw the Father doing? We'd find ourselves accidentally doing everything together in coordination without anyone having planned it. With no like earthly administration, just heavenly administration. Oh, it's ahead of us. But unless we speak of what is coming, we don't go in that direction because it should undo some junk in your head that is telling you who you are. That's what it means to die to yourself. Let's whack this one. You're called to pick up your cross and follow him. To deny yourself. That means deny your identity. You are not who you think you are. You die. That life is over. You don't know who you are. But you're looking to it. And it's becoming more real. You are not now driven by the past. You're not driven by your genetic makeup, which is connected to adultery, connected to jealousy, connected to hatred, wired in your flesh, genetically wired into your flesh, generational junk all landing on you. You're not under that anymore! So we slowly wake up and go, whoa, what am I on earth? You get wisdom hits you. Whoa, what am I doing living in that? Jesus. Because your flesh has been crucified. There is no sinful nature because that's an NIV construction. There is only flesh. Paul says flesh. He says there is nothing good in my flesh. He meant this flesh because he's a Jew. And a Jew depends on flesh, lineage, to be who they are. And they believed that their flesh enabled them to fulfill the law. That they had Jewish flesh, which was special and could do the law. But flesh counts for nothing. So you are no longer glued to your flesh. You have been circumcised. You've been cut from your flesh. It's happened. It's coming from the future. It's already done. Already done. So you cast it off like an old garment. Because it's still speaking. It's still calling out in a deathly way. In its mortal life way. And it's falling off. And it's a mystery that the glory that we have can live in one of these mortal bodies. Paul doesn't understand it. He says in Romans 8, the spirit of resurrection life must be keeping your body alive. Because if it didn't, wow. So along comes the enemy and starts to condemn you. Yeah, but you sin. You do this junk. You do this. Yeah, it's just, hey up, the wisdom's coming. You can't beat that stuff by effort. What does it say in Galatians? It says, abstinence does not have any value. It doesn't have any value. What is this in Colossians? It doesn't have any value in restraining the passions of the flesh. It doesn't do it. It will mean that you don't do it, but it's not cutting it out. But when the wisdom comes on, the revelation of who you are in him, and you realize that's not you anymore, it falls off. It just starts to fall off. Of course you could go back to it. Why on earth would you want to? When the wisdom starts to settle, it's like, whoa. I don't need to compare anymore. Now, and that's just the beginning, because now, when I come out of comparison, now I'm equipped to go and engage the world that's riddled with comparison, and I feel it pressing in, and it's pressing in all the time. And I'm an overcomer now, because I'm in him who's overcome in me. I've got the wisdom and the revelation. That's not me. And I resonate to a different frequency now, so you shake everyone's comparison around them. So the people who are beaten down by insignificance and comparison feel alive around you. Others feel hugely jealous and angry of you because you're not held down and riddled by insignificance and comparison. You become dangerous. You can love people because you haven't got to hold back because you're not jealous of them. Oh. You can give them every opportunity that comes your way because you can be never denied richness because you've got everything you need. So I don't have to hold back because then I will have less if I give it away and they'll have more and they'll do better. All that comparison can die. Yes. Then you become incredibly dangerous because you're no longer after fame in the world. Prominence, significance in the world drops off you. You become famous in the heavens because you're keeping secrets. Whoa. You're carrying the secrets of heaven within you. You become famous, and that means angelic activity goes on around you at an increased level. Resources come to you. You find yourself in incredibly dangerous situations, and God helps you. Because he who dwells in the secret place of El Elyon, the God of the mountains, the God who's on the highest mountain, he's in the highest courtroom. If I dwell in his secret, if I make home in his secret place, not just a house, home in his secret place, well, then what? Then I come to rest. The shadow comes over me of El Shaddai, the one who meets all my needs, El Shaddai. His shadow comes over me. And you can rip everything you like from me materially. He will keep meeting my needs from the inside out. You could even go to martyrdom with joy. Like Stephen. Thank you, Stephen. I just realized. Stephen, the first martyr after Jesus. Wow. He goes with joy because he's got the wisdom and the revelation that's brought understanding so that he can enter into the vision and just slip out of his flesh. And he'll be here helping all those that go that path. But don't tell anyone I said that. So that's you. This is you. We're speaking of you. We're speaking of a messing up of who you think you are to become the real normal you. We're talking of the deconstruction of what you think is safe and good and secure. Control is let go of. And we head towards the real you. That may not be comfortable. Holy Spirit's idea of comfort isn't chocolate cake and teddy bears. Wow. You have to have Holy Spirit comfort. And if you're one with him, why would you not? Stop resisting it. His comfort is so deep. It is not chocolate cake. It is, it's a groan with you. The pain's still there, but it doesn't matter so much anymore. Because he's feeling it with me. You can never be alone. Wow, never alone. Never. It's an illusion. It's a world system illusion to keep you addicted to friends. Whoa, let me just keep going. I know the English doesn't work well. You don't need friends. You have people to love around you. And you have people who will pour love on you. That's not a clinging on to people. I need you. I need you. You are made for such intimacy with God that you're so not alone. And then when you're with people, it flows out of you and you can receive back. And we're getting there. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So when you groan, when you're feeling the loneliness, when you go into the groaning of the Spirit and He comforts you, you come out realizing He's with you. He's with you. I'm just speaking who you are. This is who you are. This is church. It's not business as usual. Something extraordinary is happening. That's the point, I think, of these 2 days. And there's more coming. It's not here so that we can all have great teaching tapes. My teaching tapes are rubbish, aren't they? Nothing wrong with teaching tapes. Whoa, I can feel the backlash on that one. I've just stuck my head up. I've just gone, whoa. I better not. I need to be careful. I don't go beyond. Whoa. Because the stuff happening in the heavens, we think we're preparing stuff. It's initiated in heaven. It's initiated by the council. I don't know whether you've met this, got this, understood this. There is a heavenly council. There is much heavenly activity. There are saints that have gone before us. Why would Paul be so keen to leave his body, as he says in Philippians? Why would he be so happy about that if he was just going to be asleep? Have you thought about that? Paul, the activist, loves preaching the gospel, casting out demons, encouraging those who've come to the Lord. Oh, I think I'd rather leave my body and just be with the Lord and fall asleep. Whoa. What were Moses and Elijah doing with Jesus? There's so much activity and there's a pressure from the other side because something is coming. They want their inheritance. Heaven is calling out. Time is running short on this earth. There's enough time in the heavens. But time is running short on this earth. The enemy knows his time is short. The prophecies are collapsing in on our days. They're collapsing in. It's the pressure's from the other side. And there will be a movement that if we tap into it, we come into that flow and extraordinary stuff happens. But it's not about us doing extraordinary stuff. It's about Jesus being manifest because we don't yet know. We haven't fully seen the gospel. We haven't fully seen who Jesus is. My God, when it's finally revealed who Jesus is, every knee bows. Everyone's, whoa! We come into oneness under Him who created all. Everything was created by Him and for Him. And it has to come back into life. All His enemies will be made His footstool. Oh. And I have no idea what that looks like. But I can hear the rumblings. And I can see the lightning. It's coming. And I know that we have to line up. So the call on us here is to start to walk in who we are. Start to walk in who we are. Paul says, if you live in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. In other words, there's locomotion. You realize who you are, then you locomote. You start to move. You start to operate in the flow. You become like the wind in the trees. The world systems can't quite work you out. You become weird, but you more and more end up in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, regardless of whether one people see it, no people see it, or 6,000 people see it. It's got nothing to do with that, because wisdom has taught you it's not about your prominence. And you start to access... Oh, where can I go here? Can I go here? Yes. I think I can go to this one. Oh, I better give you a scripture, because you'll feel like I'm a Christian then. I have actually been quoting a gazillion of scriptures. You know what I found that? I found that one of the most releasing things for me is to just listen to scripture. Over the last 6-7 years, I have listened to the scriptures so much. It means I've got no idea what verse things are in. I've lost all sense of grid reference. But I'm full. I'm full of the whole intent of the scripture. My goodness. I can go for a jog and listen to Romans 3 times. And if you do that every day, my goodness, the richness starts to fill you. And you start to see what the scriptures are for. What's the point of them? Why do we have these writings? I'm diverting. Hebrews 10. Wow. Hebrews 10, and there's a very small number in front of it that I can't quite make out. I think it's 5. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. Why did you give us the law then, Lord? Why did you give us the law? You didn't want sacrifices to increase sin. That's what Paul says. Whoa! To expose it. Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. This is a messianic psalm breaking in. This is Paul, the writer of Hebrews, to be PC, if there's any theologians listening. The writer of Hebrews says this is Christ speaking. And he then says, and the Holy Spirit says, it's very specific. He says, Christ says, sacrifice and offerings you've not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. I'm going to say this because it just might puzzle some of you. If you go and look in your Old Testament, which is from the Masoretic text, it will be different to that, because this is quoting from the Septuagint. The Septuagint, I could be shot for saying this, is more likely more accurate. Well, but don't take my word for it. Why would the writer of Hebrews quote it? What is going on here? They didn't have the Masoretic text. And he's quoting the oldest version they have. And he says, but a body you have prepared for me. In other words, Christ comes into Mary's body, and a body he's wrapped around him. This happens to all of us. You enter a womb and a DNA is stitched around you. You start to get clothed with a body that you've never been clothed with before. You've never experienced this before, but now you're being clothed with a body, a flesh, with all its screams and cries, with all its history, with all its generational line, right back to Adam. It's being stitched around you. Only Jesus, something crazy is going on. He's having a body wrapped around him. And it says, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book. And Jesus starts to live out his scroll. He lives out what is written in the heavens for him to do. The first and only person who is able to access his scroll and walk in total obedience to it, such that eventually he lays down his life. And he constantly, if you like, if I dare say this, accidentally fulfills the scriptures as he moves from his scroll, as he moves from what is written in the heavens about him. Where we're going is you're following in his footsteps. So it's written on his scroll what he's here to do. Man tries to tell him what to do. He won't go that way. He won't go that way. He constantly only does what he sees Father doing, because what is written is not static, it's a voice. It's an image. It's a movement. He's constantly seeing it. So much, I mean, if you read the book of John, it's the way John stitches together his fulfillment of the writings. Extraordinary. Like, even on the Last Supper, it's crazy. He says, one of you will betray me. You know that bit? One of you will betray me. John 13. And John, the one who he loves, says, who is it? Jesus. And he says, it's the one who will take this bread that I've dipped from me. For some reason, they all watch Judas take this bread, but they're blinded. It's pretty obvious. Jesus says, the one who takes this bread will betray me. They watch it and they go, oh, he's gone to pay something. With a Brummy accent as well, like that. He dips his bread. And John says, this is to fulfill what was written, that he who eats my bread will lift his heel against me. It says, as Jesus hands Judas the bread, Satan enters him. What is the bread? His body. Now, he's relinquishing his body to Satan. He's refused to die for the whole of his life. He's evaded death time and time. They try and kill him, they can't. But now he yields. Do you see?
Yes.
He gives his body to Satan, who goes, yes, and runs out with it. Now I can kill you. Because this has been decided in the courtroom. You've just given authority away, Jesus. You've given the authority to Satan. And he fulfills his scroll, what had been prophesied centuries before. Imagine if you had to engineer that by calculation. If you had to work out what your purpose in life was and write it down as a plan. And Jesus is constantly fulfilling the scroll, because he's living from his scroll. He's living from that living word. That's you. You have a scroll. You have writings. Writings. Audible stuff stored up for you to do. Whoa. If we engage wisdom and come into who we are, we can start to access and do what we're called to do. And that will be extraordinary. This is not about personal fulfillment. Wisdom will have taught you this is not about personal fulfillment. This is about the purposes of Christ. This is about Christ being revealed, not me fulfilling my potential. Oh, Jesus being revealed. Who cares about my personal fulfillment of potential? That happens because I'm lined up in him. And that can happen at the bus stop when you speak the loving word to someone and you know, I'm in the scroll. It can be when your boss comes to you and starts to manifest demonically and you cast demons out of him. That's you lining up with the scroll. And you know when it's happening. And it's And it's not just all about healing, gifts of knowledge, you know, all that stuff. You know, you can do that stuff, but it wasn't on your scroll necessarily. But God will do it because he's a good God and he loves people. Your call is to be obedient. And that's not a tightrope of, I'm going to get it wrong. It means relinquishing control. You cannot know it yourself. You have to enter into knowing who he's made you to be and start to go, what is written on my scroll? What am I to do while I'm here? And it doesn't matter whether you've got 2 minutes left in your leather bag or 70, 80, 90 years left in your leather bag. It engages as at that point there and then. And it is not linear like this time because you're not under this time. You're engaged with a heaven time frame, which is totally different. You're not under the sun. You're under the sun. And that's a different time frame. That means you can achieve in 1 second what would take thousands of years to achieve with human effort, and you still wouldn't do it. Something gets... You start to become active with the courts, with the councils of the heavens, and the will of the Father starts to get released through you. My, that makes me want to go to my knees and cry out and go, God, who am I? What are you doing? What's your purpose? I give myself to you. Oh, Lord, I love you. I don't want just Christianity. I want Jesus Christ. I want him who is before all and in all. He's the firstborn, the unique of creation. That's a better translation. The unique of creation, the firstborn. In him, all things hold together. That means he's holding the molecules together in the chairs right now. And no one sees it. But if we saw it, the whole world will break out. The whole earth will break out in a cacophony of sound. Wow. This is you. This is you. So whether you've got 3% of this, or 100% of this. You've probably got more than me if you've got 100%. Live this. This is what you're here for. What was the phrase? This very thing. This very thing. This very thing. That's how Stephen can be martyred when he's about 22 and he's fulfilled his scroll. Doesn't make earthly sense. He fulfills his scroll. That is earth-shattering. That causes severe damage in the world system. It opens up, rips apart the curtain for revelation of who Jesus Christ is, such that Luke records the story because Paul is watching. It must have gone straight into Paul's heart when Stephen is going, I see Jesus standing! Wow. And I'm going to stop because we need to... I don't say we need to. It would just be a privilege to go into worship because I think stuff is going to hit you as we do that. We're not after just loads and loads of intellectual understanding. Something is shifting over you. You are not just little old you. You're not just little old you. It's an illusion. Your age is an illusion. Did you know that? That's why Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth because that's got nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. A 5-year-old can operate in their scroll with profound wisdom such that it shatters a nation. Yes. 105-year-old can do exactly the same. It doesn't depend on you being an athlete. Oh, Jesus. So what I invite you to do is as we worship, do you guys want to come up? And I don't know whether there is a band. Is there a band? Yeah. Don't just sing the songs. Open your heart up. I reckon the Holy Spirit will be shaking our controls and fears and our insignificance. You're not a victim of insignificance. You do know that, don't you? If you have insignificance, it's something the Holy Spirit wants to shake off you. It's not something that he wants to give you chocolate cake over. He wants to shake it off you. Because you're standing in the way of the glory of God coming through you. Whoa. And there's no condemnation. He doesn't beat you over the head with a stick. He just says, let me take that off you. Whoa. So as we open our hearts in worship, just let him go and shake who you think you are and who you think Christ is in you. Whoa. I want to ask, in the courtroom right now, under the blood of Jesus, we come under the blood of Jesus. We come under our only covering. We come under the hoopah of Jesus Christ. We rely completely on his covenant for us, that he died for us. We have no righteousness of our own. We come under his covering and we boldly enter that place. We boldly come to the throne of grace and we ask for the shaking. We ask for the judgment to come on the enemy where he's made agreements with us in fear, insignificance, mediocre Christianity, religion, blinded us to the scriptures. We ask that he would come and there will be a shaking that goes on over our lives so we start to see. We start to see. We start to see. We start to hear. We start to hear. Whoa. Shake, Lord. Shake. 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 Open your heart up more in worship.